I want to do a little quiz this morning, and I want you to listen very carefully. I'm going to give you two sets of quotes. The first two quotes make one perspective, and the second two quotes make a second perspective. I want you to tell me which you think sounds most like Canada. Now, these quotes mention the U.S. specifically, but we are kind of lumped into that North American Western culture, so they are kind of applicable. I want you to give me an idea of which set of quotes you think sounds most like us. Don't pay too much attention to who the quotes are by, but just the idea of the quotes. First one is from the great philosopher Tiger Woods. America's a melting pot, all races, cultures, and religious choices. The second quote, same perspective, says this: one of the things I most admire about America is they have created a genuine melting pot society, a country of opportunity. You can be of any religion, color, ethnicity, persuasion, and make it to the top of your chosen field. And that's something I admire about them and hope they continue with. And that was David Cameron, former British Prime Minister. That's the first set of quotes. Now, the second set of quotes says this, it has a different perspective. It says, the greatness of Americans is that we are mosaic, we are diverse. That was Sheila Jackson Lee. Former President Jimmy Carter said this about the U.S. We become not a melting pot, but a beautiful mosaic. Different people, different beliefs, different yearnings, different hopes, different dreams. In your opinion, does the culture of Canada more resemble a melting pot or a mosaic? Now, a melting pot is where a host of cultures, beliefs, and ideas are melted together to form something new and unique. Now, the perceived benefit is the diversity that is a result and melted together makes the new culture even better. Now, a mosaic is a host of cultures that come together in the same place, but each remains distinct and different from the other. The perceived benefit here is that maintaining differences means small groups are still able to maintain cultural distinctives in a new place, and those differences enrich the culture. So in your opinion, does Canada more resemble a melting pot or a mosaic? 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 Most people mosaic. Anybody think it's a melting pot? Okay, somebody's a melting pot, yeah. Most people go with the idea that we are a mosaic. Very interesting. When my parents came to Canada back in the 1950s, they viewed Canada at that time as a cultural melting pot. As Dutch immigrants, my parents wanted to become fully Canadian. My parents purposefully did not speak Dutch in the home, even though that was their mother tongue. They did not try and hold on to their European distinctive. They wanted to become fully Canadian. They did not want to hold on to their Dutch heritage or their Dutch culture. These days, immigrants are more likely to see Canada as a cultural mosaic. Immigrants are empowered to maintain their own cultural diversity inside the Canadian culture. Now, we can argue long and loud about which is better, but regardless of which cultural style makes Canada a stronger nation, the church is called to reach the people in its current context, the way it is now. Let me be clear, I love Canada. And while I do not agree with everything this government or any other government has ever done, I think Canada is a better country because of its diversity. If you're a follower of Jesus, but you don't believe that Canada should be open and accepting to immigrants, you may have missed the day in church when they taught on Matthew chapter 20, verses 40 to 45. And it says this: and the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. Then the king will turn to those on the left and say, away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry, and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty, and you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked, and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison, and you didn't visit me. Then they will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or as a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not help you? And he will answer, I tell you the truth. When you refused to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me. I believe Canadian immigration policy, while being far from perfect, is an example of the compassion and the heart and the love that God has for people. And the love he has shown to us, being ready and willing to responsibly receive the neglected, the disenfranchised, the marginalized, the poor and the hungry from other countries is a clear example of the heart of Jesus. Amen? Living in a culture that believes in diversity and celebrates differences presents a big challenge, though, to us as Christians. in a culture that promotes strength and diversity, a culture that promotes acceptance of any and all ideas on what is right and true, presents a major problem for us because Christianity itself is based on exclusivity. That's the topic of our conversation today. It's exclusivity. In Canada, we don't like to say one culture is better than another. We like to say they're just different. For the most part, we don't want to be seen as a nation or people who force other cultures to conform to what we think is best. As long as you follow the rules that are placed there for everyone to follow and for everyone's benefit, your cultural distinctive will be welcome here in Canada. That seems to be one of Canada's core values. However, that core value is directly opposed to what Jesus said about himself and what we as Christians believe is true. John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, "I am the only way to God and the real truth and the real life. No one comes to the Father but through me." This foundational teaching of Christianity becomes a big problem for many of our fellow Canadians. An interesting statistic for you, 30% of Canadians say that they feel uncomfortable around evangelical Christians. That is the same percentage who said they would feel uncomfortable around drug addicts or child abusers. And the main reason why Christians are being pushed to the side in our culture is that we're viewed as narrow-minded. We're viewed as bigoted individuals who refuse to make room for anyone else's thoughts or ideas when it comes to things like salvation. The idea that there is only one way to God and that Jesus is that way and faith in him is that way is a very unpopular position to take these days. The problem of exclusivity is a massive roadblock that keeps many people from exploring what it means to follow Jesus. Cultural icons that are highly respected have even pointed out that this is a problem. The exclusivity that Christians preach is a cultural roadblock, and they recognize it as such. Watch this clip.
A panel has been discussing the spirituality and the forces of God, but I also believe that there are two forces that are here with us, that we do have our God that we can depend on, but there's also a power of darkness that we do need to be aware of. And that's where the choice is.
Do you believe that you can choose between one or the other?
Most absolute definitely.
Yeah. Now Marianne Williamson says in her book, Return to Love, that we're always walking in the direction of one or the other, that all of your actions in life, either you're moving toward the darkness or you're moving toward the light.
That's right.
She calls it fear and love. There's this wonderful book called Ishmael by Daniel Quinn, which is... Anyway, it's a gorilla talking, but anyway. It talks about one of the points it brings out is one of the mistakes that human beings make is believing that there is only one way to live.
That's
and
right.
That we don't accept that there are diverse ways of being in the world, that there are millions of ways to be
then
a human
how do
being.
Please
and,
God?
And many ways, no, but many paths
right.
to what you call God.
That
and
is
her
crazy.
Path might be something else, and when she gets there, she might call it the light. But her loving and her kindness and her generosity brings her, if it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not.
And I guess the danger that could be in that, I mean, it sounds great on the onset, but if you really look at both sides, I
there
could
couldn't
person,
possibly be just one way. What about Jesus? What about Jesus?
That even brings them up in this whole discussion, and you say there isn't only one way. There is one way and only one way, and
there
that is through Jesus.
There couldn't possibly be with
because
the millions of people
Because you say there
the
isn't.
There couldn't possibly be.
Because you say, you intellectualize it and say there isn't. If you don't believe that, you're all buying into the lie.
But that makes you right.
Do you think, that if you are somewhere on the planet, if you're somewhere on the planet and you never hear the name of Jesus, you never hear the name of Jesus, but yet you live with a loving heart, you lived as Jesus would have had you to live, you lived for the same purpose that Jesus came to the planet to teach us all, but you are in some remote part of the earth and you never heard the name of Jesus, you cannot get to heaven, you think?
And that is covered in the scriptures, too. People
heart,
are talked about
truly,
that.
God knows the heart.
Does God care about your heart or God care about if you call his son Jesus?
Well, you know, Oprah, God, Jesus cannot come back until that gospel is preached in the four corners of this earth. So, you know, figure it out.
Okay, I can't get into a religious argument with you.
It's not.
Another clip I want to show you In this clip, another cultural icon tries to show us how he thinks we should deal with this problem. He might not be as respected as Oprah, but Ricky Bobby has a perspective on exclusivity that I want you to see. So take a look at this clip.
All right, you're not on fire.
I knew it, you're lying. I'm burned.
There is no fire.
Come back here.
But something looks wrong. I mean, he's running around like he's on fire.
Oh, my God, help me. I don't want to die. Oh, stop, drop, and roll.
You're not on fire, Ricky Bobby.
I'm on fire.
You're not on fire.
But I'm not even sure he even knows where he's at right now.
This makes us all realize the kind of pressure these drivers are under.
Mr. Bobby, come on down here.
Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jewish God. Help me, Allah. Ah! Help me, Tom Cruise.
But how did he get down to his underwear that fast?
Tom Cruise used a witchcraft on me to get the fire off me.
Look, here, help's coming.
Wait a minute.
It's Cal.
Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jewish God. Help me, Allah. Help me, Tom Cruise. That's Ricky Bobby's answer to the problem of exclusivity. Ricky Bobby's answer is to include everyone. As a replacement for exclusivity, the culture preaches inclusivity. Why put all your eggs in one basket? Hedge your bets on these kinds of things. Saying there is only one way is unnecessary, limiting your options, and then even worse, is conceited, smug, arrogant, and offensive to people. Now, in this series, we've often referred to atheists and how they see things. Well, an atheist's position on God and religion is that none of them are true. They're all false. Inclusivism, which also stands out as not being in support of Christianity, says the exact opposite. It says that all religions are true and they all have value. That's the theology of Ricky Bobby and Oprah and a huge portion of the culture today. The question we want to answer today is, what should we do to deal with this problem? As Christians, how do we handle the issue that being a disciple of Jesus means you must reject all other religions? When we talk about Jesus being the only way, we are telling good people, we are telling nice people, we are telling loving people that they are wrong. When we assert that there is only one way to God and that this is through his one and only son, Jesus, we are saying to individuals who believe properly, give of themselves, they are excellent citizens, good human beings, that they are wrong if they do not acknowledge Jesus as Lord. Now, as we answer this question today, I want you to have the correct picture in your mind of the people that we're talking about. We're talking about good people. We're not talking about the enemy. These are people that Jesus died for. These are people that Jesus went to the cross for. These are people that Jesus would leave the 99 to go and find. That's the people that we're talking about. I want to share some truths with you today that can help us do a better job engaging with people who have a hard time with the truth that Jesus is the only way. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you're that skeptic. You struggle with the exclusivity and the idea that Christians believe that there is only one way, or that's their way or the highway. Maybe you feel that Christians are too rigid, too unyielding, and their certainty gives you cause to mistrust them. Either way, I hope you lean in and listen as we tackle how to deal with the problem of exclusivity. The first thing we need to do is don't believe the lie. What lie? That's a good question. When someone believes that they are right, which means that someone else is wrong, if I believe that Jesus is the only way, that means if you do not, that means you're wrong according to what I believe. And the opposite is also true. If you believe something different than I do, you automatically assume that I'm wrong and you're right. But there is a lie that many Christians fall for that stops them from engaging the culture. And it may not be the lie that you're thinking about. It isn't that there is more than one way. I'm not talking about that lie. It isn't that all religions are basically the same thing, because they're not. The lie isn't that we will all worship the same God eventually, just with different names or traditions. That's not the lie I'm talking about. The lie that really keeps us from dealing with the problem of exclusivity is if we disagree with someone, we cannot maintain our relationship with them. What stops us from making progress in this area, and quite frankly, in many areas as Christ followers, it keeps us from engaging the culture in a right way, is that we don't know how to disagree properly. And that's not just with people outside the church. It's the same issue with us in here. We have just as big a problem maintaining a relationship with people inside the church culture that we disagree with. People who believe a lot of the same things that we do. If we agree on 9 out of 10 things, that one thing is often a deal breaker. We agree on Jesus and who he said he was and what he did. We agree on the need for salvation. We agree on that faith in Jesus is the method that we receive that salvation. We can agree on the way things will end, even though we don't even know all of how things will end. We can agree on Scripture being God-breathed, inerrant, and applicable for today. But if we don't agree on whether or not the baptism in the Holy Spirit, whether tongues is the initial evidence or an evidence, sometimes the relationship breaks down. We can't get past that or things like that. If we believe the lie that if we disagree with someone, we can't be in relationship with them, how will the church ever influence the culture? If the only people that we can get along with are the ones that believe exactly what we do, there is no hope for our community. This is a bit of a tangent, but I think it's an important point to make. I'm often disappointed when I hear people, especially Christians, celebrating when a government or some authority somewhere limit the religious freedoms of another religion, of another faith. They hinder the ability of people of a different faith to openly express their faith. Now, it isn't always directed at Muslims and Islam. It isn't always that way, but it seems to be a very popular issue these days. Take Quebec, for instance, who has recently banned the wearing of the burqa or the hijab by Muslim women. If you want to receive provincial services, you are banned from wearing that piece of clothing. I've heard several people celebrating that as good for Quebec. We need more of that. Unfortunately, that kind of an attitude doesn't line up with our faith or Christianity, and here's why. Jesus never came to overthrow or conquer things of this earth. Jesus never challenged people in court. He never tried to influence the public space. He never tried to influence people politically or public policy, either to promote himself or to bring down one of many other truths that were being promoted at that time. Jesus never stepped into that area. He knew that his was a spiritual battle. Our fight is not with Muslims, but with principalities, powers, and rulers of this dark world. It's a spiritual battle that we're in. Raising something up, even by putting something we believe is wrong down, by forcing someone else down, is the opposite of God's plan. What did God say? If you humble yourself, I will lift you up. If you lift yourself up, I will humble you. The religious oppression that you celebrate when you see that happening to people of another faith, at some point will be used to limit your own religious freedoms. Do you understand that? The religious oppression that you celebrate now of some other faith, at some point will be used to limit your religious freedom. If you celebrate the shutting down of a mosque or the removal of the hijab or the burqa, don't be surprised that if someday your church is closed and your cross becomes illegal. I know it's dramatic to talk about, but that's the issue that's at stake here. Now, here's an alternative to believing the lie that if we disagree, we can't be in relationship. Not only should we be able to get along with people whom we disagree with, we should also be willing to defend their right to believe something different. Then take it to the next step and be willing to cooperate with them when our goals are aligned. If there is another religious group that is feeding the hungry, housing the homeless, or providing palliative care services for the terminally ill, why can't we partner with them to minister in those places? Unfortunately, too many Christ followers want to cut off the contacts or the connections with people who don't agree with them. Now, that does not stop those people from reaching into a hurting world. When you say, I'm not going to go help them, they believe something different than me, that's not going to stop them. They're still going to go there, and they're still going to influence, and they're still going to meet needs. What's going to be missing is a Christian perspective. That's what will be missing. Jesus will not be present there because your hands and your feet are his hands and feet. Parents ask me from time to time, what do I do if my kid is involved with someone or something that I don't agree with? What if they've got this, my daughter's got this boyfriend and he's a dirtbag. He's got tattoos and he rides a motorcycle. What do I do? And I ask them, I said, what do you think you should do? Kick him out. He's not coming in my house. No way. I'm not going to have her seeing that guy. Well, if you do that, you will have no opportunity to influence your child or their boyfriend or their girlfriend or whatever situation you find yourself in. If you want those kids to turn to Jesus, you better love them like Jesus. And the only way you can do that is to be in relationship with them. Here's something that is important to note. Cooperation does not equal agreement. If we cooperate with someone, that does not mean we necessarily agree on everything. We can support someone's work, someone's ministry or ideas without agreeing with everything they believe. We need to practice cultural pluralism, not metaphysical pluralism. Yes, I will explain those things. Cultural pluralism means to accept and celebrate different cultures, people, races, or religions. Metaphysical pluralism means to accept all the ideas of those cultures, religions, and worldviews as true. We are to practice cultural pluralism. It's their right to have those ideas. We don't have to agree with those ideas. Cooperating and working with people who do not agree that Jesus is the only way does not mean we adopt their belief. It means we give them the right to hold that belief. We're not saying that they're right in what they believe when we agree to work together for a common purpose. So don't buy into the lie that disagreement should end our relationship with people who believe something different than you do. The second step in dealing with a problem of exclusivity is honestly answer this question. Does inclusive really mean inclusive? The point is really for those people who believe in inclusivity. If this is your point of view, if this is where you put your stake in the ground, you want Christianity to be inclusive. You want your church to be inclusive. It really bothers you that Christianity seems to shut people out or at least make it too difficult for people to find their way in. While the culture, on the other hand, makes everyone welcome, makes everyone accepted. The problem I have with that is the culture sees itself as the proper example of what inclusive really means and what inclusive should be. Now, I know that the church gets it wrong sometimes. I know that sometimes we can appear to be and act like an exclusive club. We can. We sometimes act like we're the country club. Show your membership card on the way in. But I don't believe the culture is actually inclusive, and certainly not as inclusive as it believes that it is. I want to point out a few inconsistencies with the idea that the culture is fully inclusive. First off, Christianity is not the only religion that is exclusive. Islam says the only God is Allah and Muhammad is his prophet. Islam requires its followers to follow 5 specific tenets if they want to get into heaven. Buddhism makes a point of excluding Hinduism and its sacred writings and puts forward itself as the correct alternative. Hinduism and Sikhism both believe that the other is out to lunch and discounts other religions, but these facts are not the real issue. The issue I want to address is this idea that the church is excluding people while the culture is inviting everyone in. It's simply not accurate. Now, Christianity is being increasingly portrayed as extremist because of its beliefs that Jesus is the only way. The culture has put on this mask that says we're inclusive. Well, Pastor, where do you get this idea that it's a mask, that it's not genuine, that it's not true? Why do you believe it's disingenuous? 2 reasons. Number 1, the culture is not genuinely inclusive because it does not leave room for Christians who believe in exclusivity. If you want to preach inclusivity, then you cannot leave anyone out, including those of us who believe there is only one way. Also, one of the main doctrines of the religion of inclusion is this. We do not believe that there is only one way to God, but many ways, and all ways are equally true. You could call this the be nice doctrine. We like to be nice to everybody. We don't want to offend anybody. This is especially true in Western cultures. While this might appear to be inclusive, it isn't. This is not inclusive because the culture is in essence saying we have a particular true right or exclusive way of thinking about religion, namely that they are all true. That's a quote from Mark Clark. So the culture's idea that their way is the only way, is the best way, that inclusivity is the right way, is exclusive in nature. If you were a believer that Christianity is exclusive and the culture is inclusive, I want you to think about these 2 points. That your belief may not be well-founded. While the mask of inclusivity might be there, in practice, it is not inclusive. Which leads me to the final point I want to make today, and that is inclusivity really doesn't make sense. Some of our leaders went through a very interesting process a few months back. It was something called personality dimensions. It was an opportunity for us to find out a little bit about our personality type and how our personality type interacts with other personality types. Really, it was just a way for us to find out how to push somebody else's buttons really good. It said, okay, this is your personality type, and this is what drives you crazy about all the other personality types. Everybody took that sheet of paper home. No, we didn't. It wasn't like that. It was good. It was good to find out what other people are thinking about me and the way I do things and how I come off to them. And we identified these personality traits by color. There was the blues. Now, they were the people in relationship-centered group. They're the huggers. If somebody comes and gives you a big hug every morning, they're probably a blue personality. Okay? They're the huggers. And then there's the gold people. They're all about duty and responsibility. They're the organizers. They're the ones that keep things running. They're the ones that make sure you've got all the stuff you need to go camping. And then there's the orange people. They're the freedom and activity people. They're the no rules people. Don't tie me down with your responsibilities and your rules. I just want to live my life. They're the people you want to take on vacation. And then there's the greens. They're the knowledge and the competency group. They're the logic people. They're the Mr. Spocks of the group. Just give me the facts, ma'am. Just the facts. All I want is the facts. The green group wants things to be logical, to make sense. I think the greens in the church today are going to latch hold of this last point very much. Inclusivity says that all religions, regardless of what words they use, are all essentially the same thing. Not only are they saying the same thing and all pointed to the same eventual point, they are all equally true. That's what inclusivity says. That point will not sit well with the logical green personality types. Now, maybe you're an organized gold. Maybe you're a free-living orange. Maybe you're just give me a hug blue. It may not make sense to you either, but it's really going to grate on the nerves of all the greens. And here's why. Inclusivity does not follow the principle of non-contradiction. The principle of non-contradiction, in case you were wondering, says if something is true, its opposite cannot be true at the same time in the same way. Okay, I'll read that again for you. If something is true, its opposite cannot be true at the same time and in the same way. This goes back to the beginning of our talk today when we heard Oprah and her little spiel there. I mentioned that Oprah and her position that all religions are essentially teaching the same thing. If that's true, then it is possible that inclusivity could make sense. If all religions are really saying the same thing, using different traditions, then saying one is right and the others are wrong wouldn't make any sense. But in spite of what Oprah or anybody else says, not only do the major world religions not agree on what they're teaching, they often teach very contradictory things about the same ideas. Like salvation, like sin, like God and Jesus. If you would take the time to learn what the other world religions hold as their basic beliefs, you would realize that they cannot all be right. The problem is we don't like disagreeing with other people. It makes us uncomfortable to say, no, sorry, I don't agree with you on that point. You're wrong. To state that one faith has it right and that means all the others have it wrong makes us feel bad. We feel like we're being too stiff, too rigid, too harsh, or judgmental. The alternative, though, does not make much logical sense. You don't have to be a green to realize that. Saying Jesus is the only way is a problem for some because exclusivity is seen as openly offensive. It's highly conceited and exceedingly intolerant. On the other hand, inclusion is put forward as the kinder, gentler alternative. Saying that all religions lead to the same end, that they are all equally true, and all the paths, regardless of which you choose, will get you to the same place, is viewed as agreeable, and that in essence is tolerance at its highest level. But here's a question I would like someone who sees inclusion as the right strategy to answer for me. Answer this question, please. Will it not be offensive for a Muslim to see a Jew in the same heaven? Would it not be offensive for a Jew to see a Muslim in heaven as well? They believe completely diametrically opposed things. For them to spend eternity together seems extremely offensive to me. How can one faith that says this is the only way be equally true to another faith that says the same thing? That their way is the only way. They both cannot be right. Inclusivity may set itself up as more tolerant, but is certainly not more logical. It makes more sense to say that one is right than all ways are right. The question we should answer for ourselves is, which one makes the most sense to follow? If you are investigating the truth claims of Christianity, and I encourage you to do it, I don't care how long you've been a Christ follower, if you've never looked into whether or not your faith has legs to stand on, I encourage you to do it. If you are genuinely searching, if you honestly compare what Christianity offers alongside any other religion, I am sure you will come to the conclusion that Jesus is the only way. I'm also certain that while you're searching, God will be running after you. And he says he will be found. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. There is no doubt in my heart and in my mind that if you genuinely seek for God, he will be found by you. He will not keep himself hidden. He wants to know you. He wants relationship with you. I believe that Jesus is the only way, but he has provided that way for every single person. He has provided that way for you. He has provided that way for the skeptic. He has provided that way for the doubter. He has provided that way for the uncertain. He has provided that way for the hostile. No one is excluded from Jesus' invitation to follow him. Jesus is unique. His call to follow him is not. He makes it available and open to everyone. Let's stand together this morning.